Most colleges today ask you to leave your faith at the front door. But at Northwest University in Kirkland, their door is wide open. Listen as NU's Provost, Dr. Sarah Drivdahl, describes how their approach to academics encompasses the whole person.
Christian, higher education has many different purposes, but I would say the most important thing that a university can do is to help students find their call and serve Christ to their fullest potential. And that is something that Northwest Universities and the Ivy League are doing, that we are so good at helping students figure out who they are, learn the information they need, become the people they need to be to really advance the kingdom of God. And when I'm in a classroom at Northwest University, we get to talk about not just this topic, but we get to talk about how Christ relates to that topic. We get to teach the whole person.
NU's application deadline for fall classes has been extended to June 1st. A Christ-centered college experience is still possible, and generous scholarships are still available. Apply today at northwestu.edu.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on this gorgeous Friday afternoon on the KTTH smartphone app. Make sure if you don't have it, you download it immediately. There has been a dramatic increase in bank robberies. I wonder what's to blame. Huh. That's what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. I do think it's worthy of at least a mention because, look, when I live in a city that has a whole bunch of bank robberies, that makes me a little bit concerned. Not necessarily for my money. My money will be fine. It's all about the people who are working. It's about the message that it sends to other criminals. Tells them, yeah, you can get away with it too. Because in this case, they believe that it's either the same person or the same group that's responsible. They call it over at the SPD, a dramatic surge. And they're specifically calling this a note job bank robber. Note job. Note. Why are you giving me that look?
Sounds kind of dirty.
It really does. It's like sending a dirty message to someone. No, it's when you pass a note to the bank teller. You say, hey, will you go out with me? Check yes or no. And then at the bottom, it says, oh, I'm also robbing you. I hope that doesn't impact the chances of us going out on a date, which, by the way, there should be a guarantee I'm going to pay. You know.
Yeah, I guess.
We're not going Dutch.
That's true.
I'm stealing from this Deutsche Bank. So this has been happening in primarily, they say, in North Seattle. Now, King 5 says it's a weekly occurrence. Now, I don't know if that's being a little exaggerated, but that's a lot if that's the case. Now, if it's the same person, I suppose I feel a little bit better, I guess. Just a tiny bit. Because it's, well, just one person or at least one group. And it's not so out of control that you've got all these different groups that are making it more difficult for detectives to find. But this happening to begin with as a nearly weekly occurrence, that is an indication that something is wrong. And dare I say, this should not be the first time I'm hearing about it. Right? Shouldn't we know that this is happening?
I'm going to say, if it's a weekly occurrence, why am I just hearing about this?
No one wanted to tell us and just give us a little bit of a heads up. Now, I don't believe it's a weekly occurrence. It's a King 5 story. I'm sure it's filled with inaccuracies. In fact, there's not even a bank robber. How about that? No, I mean, if it turns out that this bank robber is someone who's young, and I'm willing to bet that it is, we can chalk this one up again to this belief that, number one, you're not going to get caught. And the truth is, you probably won't, at least not at first. You're really tempting fate there by doing it more than once. But you've got someone who knows probably that Seattle Police Department is understaffed. You've got someone who probably knows that as long as he's not including a gun, which you can rob a bank without showing a gun, just give off the impression you have a gun. Yeah, you're not going to spend as much time in jail if you were to get caught and it takes away some of the potential charges against you, right? So if you're doing the whole using your hand, your thumb and your forefinger as the gun, but you're doing it from behind like a jacket or from, you know, a sweatshirt or whatever. Yeah, if it's just your hand, you're not going to get hit with any charges associated with actually having a gun, which would probably be stolen. So there's this risk-reward kind of calculation that goes on, I imagine, in the heads of criminals or would-be criminals. What's the risk here? What's the reward? Reward, getting a whole bunch of money, hashtag Bidenflation, it's killing me, or the downside, okay, maybe you spend a night in jail. Maybe. I mean, they probably won't even book you, right? Okay, yeah, I could use the money. And I'm serious. That's what some of these people are thinking about. And we can pretend that that's not the case because it makes a better story for Democrats who are clearly responsible for this. But that's the reality. And until you change that reality, people are still going to make decisions through that prism. So change the reality. It really isn't that difficult. Change the reality. This is no longer a public safety issue. This is a political issue. Politicians are making the choices to pass policies. Judges who are elected are making decisions not to be very judgmental. We can change that if we're organized. And if we're looking at the GOP convention this weekend, it turns out we're not very organized. Oof. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The Biden administration.
We haven't had an opportunity to do this for a while. But courtesy of the Biden campaign, spending time in Philadelphia today, all ahead of next week's primary, he gave us an opportunity to play my favorite game show. That's the cue.
What the heck did Joe Biden say?
That wasn't it.
It wasn't?
Okay in there? No. Mine has music in it. Remember when I said there's going to be music at the bottom of it and then you fade it out?
Oh.
It didn't have music.
Oh.
Should we do it again? And I'll pretend this time that you didn't severely disappoint me. Wait, hold on. Let's do it again so that you feel better about the giant screw-up you gave me on a Friday in which I didn't get a haircut, which means I'm in a bad mood today. Should we do it one more time?
I couldn't find one with music.
Well, you could have told me that when I came in and said that there was music at the end of it.
Oh.
That was the hint. Here, let's do it one more time. It's time for my favorite game show in which we play a clip that doesn't have any music underneath it.
What the heck did Joe Biden say?
Still, we're a little too slow on the trigger finger. What's going on over there?
I don't know.
Do you know how excited I am about this segment? Do we have to do it one more time?
You want to? We can.
No, I don't, but I feel like I need to because the audience has expectations.
Okay.
You don't seem ready. Your finger isn't even on the button.
I'm ready.
Okay. It's time for my favorite game show in which we...
What's trending?
Oh, wait. What's
China
oh,
is my responsible.
God. Oh, my God.
I'm having a day,
oh,
Jason.
Oh, my God. Never. I don't even want to play the game anymore. You ruined it for me. The one thing that brought me joy. The one thing that brought me joy on a day I don't get a haircut. I'll just play the sound.
Okay.
Okay. Let's all try to figure out what Joe Biden is going to say here. He was giving a speech at the United Steelworkers headquarters in Pittsburgh. And I can make out some of this, and I certainly understand what his point is. But tell me if you can make out every single word.
What's it take to be an electrician? Is that what you just said? You get a little bit of training. 4 to 5 years of training to become an electrician. You're the best in the world. That's why it's a real thing.
Okay. So he starts off talking like this, to the point where we actually have to make it a little bit louder on our end. And then he starts to scream, and then he goes back down to this at the end. So I heard the screaming. And if you want to play the game, you can text us your answer, 1-800-465-8770. Let's try this one more time. Try to figure out what it is he's saying here, okay?
What's it take to be an electrician? Is that what you just said? You get a little bit of training.
Okay, so I heard the first part. What's it take to be an electrician? Training. That's all I heard. Could you make it out?
I can't.
Okay, let's make it louder, and I'm going to pause it before the screaming, because then my ears will literally never thank me or forgive me.
What's it take to be an electrician? Is that what you just said? You get a little bit of training. 4 to 5 years.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry, I forgot to hit pause. Can you hear what he's saying?
I have no idea.
He's clearly speaking in tongues.
What's it take to be an electrician? Is that what you just said? You get a little bit of...
Okay, I don't think those are words. I think he maybe got, is this him getting tongue-tied?
It's gibberish.
It legitimately sounds like...
What's it take to be an electrician? Is that what you just said? You get a little bit of training.
A little bit of training. What could he possibly have been saying there?
I think maybe he didn't know what he was going to say next, so then he just got caught off guard.
Is possible that this was not a scripted piece of his speech?
Which for Joe Biden is never a good idea.
No. How dare you people set him up for this kind of failure?
What's it take to be an electrician? Is that what you just say? So you get a little bit of training.
That's elder abuse.
Oh, my God. I have no clue. I'm going to go with those weren't words. It wasn't intended to be words, is what I mean.
Yeah.
That he was trying to figure out the next words that he was going to say. And he just got a little bit tongue-tied. But if you guys can figure this out, send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending. Oh, God.
What's trending? China is responsible.
So this is kind of interesting. And no, China is not responsible. Apple is responsible in this case. But I kind of understand what they're doing here. The Associated Press has a story that Apple removed the WhatsApp app as well as Threads from the App Store in China in order to comply with orders coming from the communist regime. Now, you're doing everyone a favor by getting rid of Threads, I'll be honest. That's the dumbest social media. Talk about a story that was the biggest in the world purely because folks in left-wing media hate Elon Musk and wanted it so badly to defeat Twitter. And it was like, oh, did you see like a billion people ended up signing up for Threads? That's amazing. That's a massive record, except until you realize everyone who had Instagram auto-downloaded it by just pushing one button. It went away. Don't worry about it. The WhatsApp, which I don't quite understand. I know what it is, which is a text messaging service, but in other countries, everyone uses WhatsApp. Everyone in Europe uses WhatsApp, and I don't know why. I cannot figure it out. Is it cheaper than having a regular text number?
Beats me.
Right? I don't understand it, but it is a way for people to communicate. I do think that WhatsApp does have the capability of encryption in ways that some other apps don't, but like, what are you sending? All of you are sending horrible things that you don't want other people to see?
Probably.
Right? Europe is Europe.
It's Europe, yeah.
They say the apps were removed from the store on Friday after Chinese officials cited unspecified national security concerns. Kind of sounds like a conversation we're having in this country about a Chinese app.
Yeah, it starts with a T, right? Or something like that.
It starts with a T and it ends with a It Talk. It's TikTok.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you couldn't figure that one out. If this was Hangman, you would have lost. You wouldn't have been able to figure that one out. The removal comes amid elevated tensions between the U.S. and China over trade, tech, and national security. They bring up the fact that TikTok ban is being discussed right now. We'll see where that ends up going. But they said, hey, we would rather you get rid of this WhatsApp because it just so happens we have a competing app called WeChat. This is 100% a response to TikTok. That's it. We have, you know, versions of TikTok via Meta, which is basically Instagram and what Facebook is trying to do with Facebook Reels. And this is them saying, no, you know what? You can use WeChat. That's what you can use instead. They say other Meta apps, including Messenger, Instagram, and Facebook, remained available to download, although use of such foreign apps is blocked in China due to its great firewall network of filters that restrict use of foreign websites such as Google and Facebook. This is Apple playing into a political game with our chief adversary, but I also understand why they're doing it. Apple is a company that obviously needs a global audience, right? And they have a global audience. China is a huge market. If I were them and I was looking at this purely through the lens of business, I would probably say, yes, we should go ahead and do what they say. If I'm looking at it through a political or moral lens, I would say, you know what? Tell them to pound sand. I totally understand the business argument, but we're not giving into this. This is a communist country. Apple has made the mistake, I think, of playing politics in the past, which means I'm going to judge them through that political lens and judge them poorly. This is a poor reflection of Apple. It really is. And, you know, I hope it comes to bite them at the end of this, because you'll recall they're having the whole big issue about whether or not their app store is legal, whether or not this is just completely overtaking all of the market. It's a monopoly. And I wonder if this kind of plays into their hand. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Anti-Semitism.
As we told you yesterday, there is a walkout expected next week on April 23rd. High school students, however, this time are being asked to walk out, and they've got an annoying amount of flyers being distributed both digitally and it sounds like in person. They're standing for quote-unquote Palestine. And as we told you, it certainly seems like they're being used by adults. For example, the one flyer that I have for Eastlake High School says, "Our American tax dollars fund genocide. We must not remain silent. Join us on April 23rd to stand against the imperialist war machine oiled with Palestinian blood." Now, obviously, a teenager did not write that, and teens aren't spending any money on tax dollars anyway. Joining me on the line is someone who is alarmed by the rise of anti-Semitism in the Lake Washington School District. She's a mother of two. She's got two kids in the district, and she joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we're not giving out your name or the details of your kids because we want to make sure that there's no retaliation. Certainly something to be worried about when dealing with anti-Semites. But what have your experiences and your children's experiences been in the district with all of this?
So my kids are actually in elementary school right now, and we've seen an influx of anti-Semitic incidents happening from the high school and then trickling down to the middle school and elementary school. So I'm wondering how this will play out by the time they get to middle school. But the main issue that we're facing now, you had mentioned, is outside infiltration. So in the previous walkouts, the organizers were clubs and individual students. And we did always suspect that there was a guiding hand, but we couldn't prove it. So the statewide walkout happening April 23rd, the posters do clearly indicate outside of school organizers that are sponsoring and organizing the walkout. So the walkout was actually even advertised in Eastlake High School's PAC News.
Wow.
So Sami Dune, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that, but they've been banned in other countries due to their affiliation with terrorist organizations. So what we have now is essentially terrorists and terrorist sympathizers infiltrating our schools and using freedom of speech rights against us, and a district who won't take a clear-cut stance to protect their Jewish students.
Yeah, and you mentioned Sami Dune. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a global club, essentially, but the local version of this, it's part of a Palestinian prisoner solidarity network. It's filled with radicals who are very clearly anti-Semitic. When you talk about anti-Semitism on campuses across the district, what specifically have you seen?
Swastikas, Nazi salutes. We actually have a website, and we've begun meticulously tracking all the incidents in the district and surrounding areas. So that's been helping a lot. But everything and anything, every walkout we have from the river to the sea, signs and chants, kafiyas, which a lot of Jews, you know, do find anti-Semitic and offensive. Really, we've seen everything.
Yeah, especially in the context, by the way, that it's being worn and used as a symbol. Have you spoken to anyone at your kid's school or the district itself?
Yeah, we've actually had a lot of contact back and forth with the district. They've really been quite passive in their approach when dealing with the widespread anti-Semitism happening. And they've been very vocal of their support of other marginalized communities, LGBTQ+, Black Lives Matter, Ukraine, you name it. It's in the district mission of equity. So the lack of support for the Jewish students is really hypocritical given the prominently expressed support for the other marginalized groups. So students are walking out of class in droves to hold signs and chant "From the River to the Sea," which calls for the eradication of the state of Israel and the Jewish people. So by allowing that rhetoric, they're perpetuating it and inadvertently condoning it. It implies agreement because they don't allow other racist rhetoric to be said. And they say they have limitations due to freedom of speech laws. But I'm wondering if kids dismiss themselves midday for walkouts to protest a different marginalized community with racist or homophobic chants if lack of intervention from districts due to freedom of speech laws would still be the case.
Do you believe that the students who do participate actually know what it is they're doing, in the sense that, like, do they recognize it as just a movement, or do you think they recognize it as anti-Israel?
I try hard to assume positive intent with the young people who are protesting. I think that they think that they're protecting innocent Palestinians through these efforts. That said, what they may not realize is that those efforts are being sponsored and inspired by Islamic fundamentalists who do not have a vested interest in bringing peace to the region. Their goal is not to create peaceful coexistence between Israelis and Palestinians. Their goal is to wipe the state of Israel off the map and eliminate Jews. And I do think that that's vital context needs to be shared so the kids can understand the nuance behind what they're saying.
But do you think that they're open-minded on that, that they would actually listen?
You know, I don't know. I think that part of the issue is the people educating them. I mean, there's a lot of bias. So that in and of itself kind of, I don't know, sets the stage for it.
Well, the people who would be educating them are the ones that are being very passive right now and likely responsible for the reasons why they hold these views to begin with, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Absolutely. I think if the students were coming into the protest with a distinction regarding that view, asking for peace, partnership, working towards safety of Israelis and Palestinian citizens, I could appreciate that perspective, but that's not the current discourse.
Now, you say as a parent, you're working with other people. You keep saying we. This is a group of parents who sort of just organically came together to push back against what they were seeing. I imagine the majority of them are Jewish like you, but perhaps not everyone.
Right. Yeah. The majority of the people that are working are in the Jewish community with Lake Washington School District. We also do have some connections to Issaquah School District in Bellevue. But all the parents are really seeing it across all school districts.
What would you like the district to do? What is the response you want from them?
So if diversity, equity, and inclusion continues to be part of the curriculum, we would like them to acknowledge Jews as a historically marginalized community by including them in the efforts, just as they have for LGBTQ+ and people of color. We would like clear rules about what's allowed and not allowed from students, teachers, clubs, et cetera, preventing political activity of any kind, because as we've seen, it's been a can of worms, and enforce rules to everyone equally.
Do you think you're going to get that?
Based on what we've seen in the past, probably not. We are having ongoing discussions, and I do think that, you know, a lot of members of the district are empathetic to our cause. But the issue with that is that their response is mostly listening and limited comment. So I'm sure a lot of them do have empathy, but actions speak louder than words, and nodding heads isn't enough. Passiveness has always been really dangerous to Jews. So
Sure. That's probably an understatement. You mentioned a website. How do people who are more interested in getting involved, or at least just reporting what it is that's happening in their school districts, to you?
So they can always report to the ADL. I believe that the website is stophateinschools.org, and they can report incidents by school or district. And then you have visual of a map, so you can see all the incidents that have been reported as well.
Yeah, I'm at the site now. It's stophateinschools.org. Make sure you're reporting these incidents that are happening on campus or by student groups. It's important to get this all documented so we actually have even more of a case the next time they say, oh no, we're taking this seriously. The map suggests you're not actually taking this seriously. We've been talking with a parent of two children in the Lake Washington School District. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. Don't forget, the IRS is getting aggressive. If you owe money, make sure you contact your local advocate, tax expert, my friend Greg Nunn of None Better Tax Resolution, N-U-N-N, None Better Tax Resolution. Back with the Big Local after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Join me weekdays, noon to 3, as I bring on top conservative voices to talk about how this political climate will impact you. I'm Guy Benson, and every day from noon to 3, you'll hear the most powerful names in D.C. and beyond with insightful conservative commentary that informs and entertains. Get ready for smart, fast-paced political insights from the right, from someone who knows the ins and outs of D.C. and how it affects you out here in the other Washington. I'm Guy Benson, heard weekdays, noon to 3, on AM 770 KTTH.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore all of the stories out of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in Yakima because King 5 is reporting that an Eastern Washington-ish prison gang is at the center of a cockfighting ring. Now, the news actually came yesterday because federal agents had announced that they arrested some 28 people, not just locally, but across the country. They were arrested and face criminal conspiracy charges related to drugs, guns, money laundering, trying to kill witnesses, and cockfighting. I mean, they were diverse.
Yeah.
Right? I think.
I don't know if that's on the intersectional chart, though.
But I don't know. Drugs, guns, money laundering, trying to kill. Well, it's the herding roosters. They can't do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's. Well, no, actually, can you? According to intersectionality? Can you just say it's like a cultural thing?
Maybe. Yeah, that's probably the one loophole.
So the gang involved, which King 5 doesn't say, is La Nuestra Familia, which I know they're saying it's an Eastern Washington thing, but aren't all their leaders in Colorado? They're in prison serving life sentences. Not in this state, I thought. Did they move? Did I miss something? I used to follow this beat long ago, mostly because of the drug angle that's attached to it. And they're one of the gangs that's involved in putting, frankly, a lot of dangerous, addictive drugs on our streets. I didn't know that they were Eastern Washington. But hey, a lot of it, I guess, is happening or was happening in Yakima. A Pierce County animal rescue ended up getting asked by the FBI to seize the birds involved in the cockfighting ring. And then I guess, rehabilitate them. And when they got that phone call, they were like, why are you calling up? We're in Pierce County. You don't have anyone in Yakima County? Kittitas? There's not like a bird sanctuary in Ellensburg or Department of Veterinary Care? What? Why us? And they were like, okay, fine. I mean, you know, we're in Roy, right? We're going to have to make that drive. And the King 5 story says they drove that day, got the roosters, and then drove all the way back in the same week. That's just a long drive.
It's a heck of a day.
Oh, my God. That's too much. But I mean, they're doing God's work, I guess. Kate, her last name is Trudel with Hartwood Haven in Roy, says, you might be surprised at actually how common this fighting is.
Happening all the time. It's a huge industry. It's very prevalent across the whole state. I think the most heartbreaking...
Can I ask a question? Don't read too much into this question, but how does one find out if there's a cockfighting ring somewhere?
I know, right?
Like, is this just like word? I'm assuming it's word of mouth. You're not looking on a Reddit forum and say, oh, hey, we've got a cockfighting ring tonight behind the, I don't know, Quality Inn Hotel in Kent. None of that?
I think she's in the rooster biz, so she hears
things.
Oh,
she know. Yeah, she's got her ear to the ground or to the farmland, and she's hearing about where all of this is happening. But seriously, how... It has to be word of mouth, just bad
characters.
Yeah, I
would think so.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't want to go. Do they kill each other? Do they kill them?
I mean, I think that's...
Is that what it is?
I think that's
the
objective.
You can't just, like, tap out?
I don't know. Do roosters know how to do that?
Well, they flap their... I guess they would always flap. Okay, never mind.
Part is when there is an opportunity for these birds to be seized and placed into loving homes, but nobody's able to help. And I think that that's... even worse than what they're faced with on a daily basis.
No, I'm guessing the fighting to the death is probably the worst.
That sounds
part.
Much more unpleasant.
I'm just, you know, God bless her. I know what she's saying, but they don't know that they're unwanted. They just know that they better kill the other rooster. And I think they put like little knives or something on their claws, right? Don't they sharpen?
I think that's right.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like a joke like you would see in a cartoon, I guess. But no, I don't know what cartoon you're watching that does that. It's a Saturday morning cartoon.
I mean, they could at least let him wear like little like gloves and headgear like American Gladiators.
Yeah,
or something,
I feel like,
you know?
That would be nicer. I have another question. She said that they're finding homes for them, like hipsters on Capitol Hill.
I know people that have chickens.
Well, they're roosters.
Yeah, that's true. But okay.
They get up early. Hipsters don't get up early.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm saying I don't think it's just hipsters, though. I mean,
oh, what person is getting a rooster other than a farmer?
My aunt and uncle have.
Oh my god!
And they're not hipsters. So.
Oh my god! Why do they have roosters?
I don't know. Actually, I think
you never asked that question.
Actually,
you never said.
Yeah.
Could you please explain this stupid decision?
I think there's like one rooster. It's mostly chickens, but
and only one. It's gonna be sad. It's not like a dog that just needs its human. Just one rooster.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert on chicken companionship. So.
I mean, it makes sense if you're older to have a rooster because you're getting up really early.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
You're probably going to be awake before the rooster, honestly.
Yeah, probably, actually. How old are they? My God.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just an old person.
Oh,
though,
okay.
Would, yeah.
Sound like you were calling them really
no,
old.
No.
I've got a mom of the year candidate in this next story, and I don't mean that sarcastically at all. Even if she has what appears to be a pretty rotten kid, this mom deserves a huge pat on the back for what it is she did. There are a pair of teenagers accused of that Winco parking lot shooting out of Sumner. We talked about this back in March, where they allegedly, or one of them allegedly, shot the man through his eye. He ended up losing his eye. And at the time, this was a big deal, not just because it's obviously a tragic story. He did make it, obviously, but those two teenagers got in front of Pierce County Commissioner Karen Watson, their judge, basically, and the 15-year-old suspect was released for electronic home monitoring, and everyone, including the victim at the time, was like, wait, what? You're releasing these? What? You know... He's accused of shooting me in the eye, right? I lost my eye. You're letting this kid go? Why would you do that? But Karen Watson, this commissioner, who's a disgrace to the court, arguably as dangerous as the alleged shooter, decided, I'm going to act like all the other King County judges, even though I'm in Pierce County, and decided to let him basically go. Now, the 15-year-old is back in jail because his mother turned him in for violating the terms of this agreement that he made. The mom turned him in. Como TV says online court records show the 15-year-old's electronic monitor recorded him in a location outside his permitted residences in early April. The teen's mother told a Pierce County judge during a pretrial release violation hearing that she turned her son in, claiming he lied about going straight to his grandmother's house to charge his ankle monitor. Instead, he apparently went to a lady friend.
My understanding is that he lied to his girlfriend's house and then to girl's house. I'm not happy with his decision. I'm not okay with it.
My understanding is he beelined to his girlfriend's house and then to grandma's house. I'm not happy with his decision. I'm not okay with it. She's the one who called the probation officer. This is a mother who is trying her best in clearly a difficult situation to make sure her kid, who already allegedly made a mistake, doesn't continue to go down that path because she cares about him, because she doesn't want to see the inevitable occur if he were to stay on that path, which is he'll be killed. He'll kill someone else, or he'll kill someone, and then he'll be killed. One of those things, probably both end up happening, especially when we're talking about this kind of alleged behavior at 15 years old. And so the mom is trying to save his life by making sure he's in detention. And we don't talk about it in those terms enough. We don't talk about it in those terms even close to enough. When we release kids who shouldn't be released, it's not just about protecting the community. It's also about protecting the kid. And sometimes they need to be behind bars in order to stay alive, in order to get things in their lives figured out. And this is a mom who seems to understand that. Now, I don't know what caught him or got him to go down this pathway that he allegedly went down. I obviously have no idea. I don't know if this is a broken home and this is a single mom who's doing her best to take care of her 15-year-old kid, who clearly, if these allegations are true, got into friendships with the wrong kind of people. But God bless this mom who's trying to do something. And now, luckily, you had the victim. His name is Terry, the guy who lost his eye. He spoke up in court in front of this commissioner, a new commissioner. Her name is Robin Lindsay. And he seems to think that had he not shown up and pleaded the way that he did, that the kid would have been released again. And I don't doubt him for a second.
I'm just glad he is locked up temporarily for now. And that makes me feel good inside. I don't feel like he should have been out on house arrest in the first place.
I have a fake eye because of this kid, and I'm still trying to get my life on track from what he did.
Do you feel that there's now a sense of accountability in this situation?
Well, I feel like they were going to let him out until I spoke my piece.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think he's 100% correct. Now think about how broken our criminal justice system has become. Ironically, you had leftists telling us our criminal justice system was broken, and yet they're the ones who actually broke it. Because now I actually agree it's broken to have anyone, any judge, commissioner, whatever, to decide in that way originally. Yeah, that indicates a broken system. And then finally, we go to Sumner, where a man, 53 years old, his name is Robert Manzano. He pled guilty to two counts of illegal disclosure of Social Security number after living under a false identity for more than 25 years. 25 years. He falsely claimed to be a U.S. citizen for security clearances and the ability to vote. But that can't, it's so hard to illegally cast a ballot. I mean, arguably as difficult as it is to get a security clearance.
And even to suggest that there could be any problem with our elections is undermining our democracy.
You can't use those words in a direct sentence. If you do it consecutively, we end up getting banned from everywhere. So take it back. They say in the press release associated with the court case, Manzano admitted in his plea agreement that he used the false identity to unlawfully vote in state and national elections since approximately 2004. Manzano admits that he falsely claimed to be a U.S. citizen each time he voted illegally. So when we have the conversation about, while I don't think that there is massive fraud, there clearly is fraud. These are the kinds of cases that I'm talking about. And the reason why this story didn't get a whole lot of mention anywhere, other than the only place I saw it was at MarioNorthwest.com, is because of this aspect, because he voted illegally. That's the only reason this story did not get any attention. Otherwise, it's a really compelling story. This guy was not who he said he was for 25 years. He's living a double life. This obviously would get him some news coverage. I mean, look, he used someone else's social security number to apply for a small business administration loan. He used that identity to take on a job with a logistics company out here. They say after applying for a security threat assessment with the TSA, they evaluated his most recent application, but this time said, wait a minute, there's some conflicting information here. And then they ended up sending the matter to the Diplomatic Security Service, whatever that is. I've never heard of that. I mean, it's clear what it does from the name, but I've never heard of that before. He's scheduled for sentencing on July 11th. If he did not vote illegally and he did not get a security or try to get a security clearance, do you have a cutoff for when you're about to say, just let him go? He's done it already.
I mean, I'm almost impressed.
Like, right? I kind of am too. I don't know if maybe that's the right word, but it is interesting that he was able to get away with it for so long, which is also terrifying. Because who else, like, are you even Jackson? I don't know. Now everything's in question. I doubt we did any deep background check. In fact, based on what some of my coworkers have been saying, you've been muttering under your breath at your desk, I'm certain we haven't done an intense background check.
Thankfully.
What is that supposed to be? Are you allowed to vote legally at least?
Maybe.
Well, if you're not, then you can't work on this show. You have to vote. 1-800-465-8770 for your text. When we come back, you choose the story we discuss. Story number one. Joy Reid is getting just completely ripped online for a blog that one of her staff members posted. MLB's few black players left should be a warning about the war on DEI. Oh, my God. Or Biden claims his uncle was eaten by cannibals or something. It obviously didn't happen. And he's getting corrected. Which story should we discuss? 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rancho.
Will there be fallout from Israel's strike on Iran? We'll check it at 6 a.m. on Monday morning on The Brian Suit Show.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you want to keep listening but won't be near a radio, there's an app for that. Stay with KTTH as Republicans push to win back the White House.
We just saw Biden down at the border. It was his second trip in 2 years, both for political reasons, both photo ops, and in both cases, he did not even see a single illegal immigrant, which almost takes effort given what's happening down there. They didn't want him to see it. They cleaned the whole thing up.
Download the AM770 KTTH app in your Apple or Android app store or at KTTH.com. You pick the topic on the Jason Rance Show.
Well, I guess Joe Biden thinks his uncle was eaten by cannibals or something. He made a stop in Pittsburgh this week, and he told the United Steelworkers Union that his uncle vanished in the area of New Guinea that was populated with cannibals after his plane crashed during World War II. Okay. Let's listen in.
And Ambrose Finnegan, we call him Uncle Bozy, he was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force.
Before there was an Air... Okay.
He's no, actually right about that.
No, I know. I was trying to make it make sense in my head. It's hard to hear him.
Before he seen the engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea, he volunteered because someone couldn't make it.
Something volunteered, someone couldn't make it. Right?
He said some of them couldn't make it.
Some of them couldn't make it.
Got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals.
I heard that. He got shot down in an area with a lot of cannibals. Okay.
He never recovered his body, but the government went back and I went down there and they checked and found a bunch of plane.
So he's clearly implying he was eaten, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, why else would you say that?
Okay. Oh, my God. Well, did that really happen? No. The Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency has a different record of what happened. The site said on May 14th, 1944, an airplane carrying a crew of three and one passenger identified as his uncle left for a courier flight to New Guinea. They said for unknown reasons, this plane was forced to ditch in the ocean off the north coast of New Guinea. Both engines failed at a low altitude and the aircraft's nose hit the water hard. The report also said that three men failed to emerge from the sinking wreck and were lost in the crash, while one crew member survived and was rescued by a barge. The uncle has not been associated with any of the remains recovered from the area after the war and is still not accounted for, according to this report. Now, how do I say this? Because I don't want to give him too much of the benefit of the doubt because he makes stuff up. And we know he's making stuff up. This one might fall into the category of this was just what I was told growing up, right? This is just because I feel like he wouldn't lie about cannibalism on purpose. It seems too outlandish. He lies about like simple things that he doesn't even need to lie about. Or, you know, there was my kitchen almost burned my entire house down. It was a three-alarm fire, and we lost kittens in it, and an orphan was there, and it died. And it's like, no, it was a little kitchen fire that was put out before the fire department got there, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it was like someone made it. Maybe someone made like a joke about it one time, and the all-time.
Well, you know what? Maybe I kind of like that if it happened when he was young.
Yeah.
Like 97 years ago, and he just, when he was 12, and he believed it.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass. Now, here's the question. Does he repeat this story now that it's pretty clearly false and it's been outed as false? That's, if he does it, then he's just clearly lying, and he was lying the first time. But if he corrects it or maybe never speaks of it again, I'm going to say he just made a simple mistake. If I cared about my family, I'm sure I would have remembered some of the stories being told to me about them. I don't even know if they're alive. So I'm sure we all have those kinds of stories that just kind of get lost.
Also, usually when he lies, I feel like he's doing it for some sort of political currency, mm-hmm. which I don't know why he'd like. This story doesn't really have that.
I mean,
it's just weird.
Is it a way to attract the cannibal vote?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe.
Like my uncle was tasty. So is your support for my campaign kind of. I don't know. Why did he bring it up at all?
I think he had just visited like a World War II memorial.
But why the cannibalism part? Why not leave that detail off?
I don't know. Yeah.
People are going to get dinner soon, right? It's just like you didn't
really. When you get old, you have no filter, you know?
I mean, but usually it's just racist stuff. And he did that several years ago with Barack Obama, who cleans up well and is very articulate. Oh, my God. I love how, by the way, any like joke you made 2 decades ago? Oh no. Joe Biden said that. Totally got a pass then and gets a pass now. Weird. Weird how that works out. 1-800-465-8770. I will say this. I do want barbecue now. Is that bad?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's good.
Oh my God. I couldn't make it through that Timothy Chalamet
movie.
Kind
of a dangerous impulse.
The cannibal movie that came out. Something in Bone last year, it made me physically ill. It was the first time I turned off a movie in a long time. It's a Jason Rant show.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.